I'm Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach. Excuse me. Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and former Compton College Board of Trustees. I'm also the founder of the Black World Institute, a research center that deal with videos and historical videos and cassette recordings of many of our speakers and advocates for human social justice for African Americans. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. We're going to try to get into some very serious subject matters after we go around and just see how people are really feeling about themselves and about the world. I generally start my program. We have two programs here. One was on Wednesday, and that is called the Community Education Network, and that is generally moderated by Brother Rashiki Maskani, and he deals with a lot of the current issues of health and nutrition and politics also and social justice. He's a former basketball player for Cal State Long Beach graduate. Now he's a current math teacher. But most of all, he's a serious activist and conscious brother about health and about Black people coming together and learning and studying about themselves. We also have Brother Ahi. He's from Detroit. Brother Ahi is a strong brother that's, all around, travels, and just get information and always keeping us updated on what's going on in Michigan and the various issues that they face in Detroit and in all of Michigan, really. And we have Mr. Ernest McBride, a historian by right from the standpoint of an archivist of his father, Ernest McBride Sr., who was a longtime civil rights worker for an activist at in the city of Long Beach, California, and is recognized nationally for his work in the Black community. Ernest by right is also an activist in many ways, but he does it with archiving the historical events, and we're just glad to have him as a part of our platform. We have a brother, Mashinda, out of Louisiana. He's a longtime activist and works with young people all the time, what's going on in the South, keep us abreast of what's going on in the South, and at the same time, working to try to transform young men and women into being excellent and being the best that they can be. We have a special guest that was invited by Linda Full, Linda, God, give me one Linda out of Florida, Linda Shorter out of Florida, who's a good friend of mine. She's a longtime activist. Her and her brother Reggie operated a culture center and a bookstore in Long Beach, and she was a part of the Long Beach Black Press. And she's at the same time working on her inventions of her online museum about the role of Black inventors and Black people health and Black people development. She's also working on her own podcast, and that's our good sister from Florida, Linda, who may join us soon. But we're going to get into things. First of all, we're going to see, is there any good news? We deal with good news and frontline news. Good news and achievements is what Black people have done that you saw in the news or became aware of that speaks to their excellence and speaks to their development or speaks to their activism. So we're going to start with the Brother Ahi. What's going on in Detroit, Ahi? Is there any good news or any frontline things? You said you had two Black women running for mayor. One's a Republican. I know that.
Yeah, we have the two women, and we have a mega preacher, a mega church preacher here running for it. And he seems to have a really strong backing in the community. And then we have the two women who are activists. Now, I don't know if this Jemison is a if she's a Republican or not. Maybe you have some information that I don't have, but I know when she ran for city council, she did run for a Democrat.
Okay. Well, there's two of them, right?
Right. And it, and the other one is your one of your colleagues here from Detroit, who is an activist, who was like a union, who's like a union activist, and he created business organizations to galvanize the black businesses in Detroit and to create a network here in Detroit. I'm trying to think of her name, it just slipped me. It's not going to come back up.
That's
but
good.
But you knew him. I remember I mentioned her name before. Okay. And you were like, yeah, I know her family been in the active for a while, but she's the third generation.
Yeah, you know, I stand corrected. I was talking about the two black women running for governor, I think, in West Virginia. And one I stand correct. You're right. All right, okay. That's good news. Any other things going on in Detroit?
They're really getting it and putting it down. Detroit, we're just moving right on along. The strong business, the black folks are really getting it down with the business, with the real estate here in Detroit. In fact, a couple of relatives of mine who got strong influence with the land banks, and we're just trying to get black ownership back here in Detroit. You know, we were kind of like moving toward a town of renters. And this used to be one of the most one of the city with the most black home ownership in America. So we're fighting that battle, and we're fighting a good battle, getting these people and buying up houses. I purchased one of my block that I want to renovate and to get these black people and in these homes to own and work on the wealth. So that's what's happening here in Detroit, on the real estate end, on the mayor, the run for the mayor in the city of Detroit, and things are promising.
And yeah, you know, Detroit looked worse than where the fires were for a little while, as far as homes, dilapidated homes and vacant homes up and down the various streets.
Yes, sir.
For a little while.
Remember,
they were
that we
offering
had
good deals on homes for restoration.
We had more than 2 million people in our beloved city. We're down to 600,000.
Oh, okay.
So that, of course, that's going to leave a lot of property, you know, with the white flight and everything. We still have certain, the more desirable areas in Detroit. We have other folks, those other folks moving back in and moving to those areas. But we still have all this land mass, and it's going to be, when they're done tearing down and rehabbing what they can rehab, it's going to be like a urban area with like rural undertones. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a lot of land, and of course we're going to have our downtown city, but it's probably going to mirror more of what the South currently looks like than what the Midwest cities.
All right, good, good. Thanks a lot for that report. Brother Mashinda, how's Louisiana? You there, Mashinda? You on mute?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, same, likewise. Well, you know, we had an election, that was on March 29th, a state election. And as you heard me before, talking about the state of the Union of Louisiana, you know, we have a governor here that's you know, he's on a mission to basically rewrite a lot of the things that's in the Louisiana Constitution, you know. So there's a big power grab that's going on, and he has a super majority that, you know, the legislature here, the state legislature, is he's got a lot of his cronies in that. I mean, he has a big following when it relates to that. But the good news is there were four amendments on the ballot related to the Constitution, and you know, it's historically there's low voter turnout, and The election was on a Saturday, so there's, down here they do a lot of disenfranchisement, on purpose. They had limited times you could vote, early vote, where you used to vote all week, early voting at certain times of the election process, but they kind of cut that back. And so, but anyway, the word was vote no on all four amendments, and they all didn't pass. So that was good news. One of the big ones that I was worried about was, they were trying to, in the state constitution, it states what felonies that can, that kids that are under 17, because here when you're 17, you can go to the penitentiary. I know it's 18 in a lot of states, but here 17 is the adult age. But when you're being tried as an adult at 16 and 15 and 14, the state constitution spells out which felonies that you can be that you can be tried as an adult. So what the whole goal of that particular amendment was to take the power from out of the constitution, which is already written, and give it to the legislature so they can decide which crimes they see fit to charge kids that are 16, 15 and under as adults. So in other words, extend, the already long list, including murder, rape, carjacking, whatever. They have all the heinous crimes on there, but they want to have the ability to add what they want to add to it. So give that power to the state legislature, which it failed. Even a lot of folks, they just wasn't going for that. And then also there was another one given, trying to establish special courts that can do a lot of damage. They disguised a lot of these amendments under, like in other words, one of them was about teacher pay raises, permanent pay raises, when in fact, when you read it, it's not really talking about really giving you a raise, like if the money's available. But what that was doing was kind of reappropriating the money, basically giving the the K through 12 and special education money, given the legislature the ability to do anything. In other words, drain that funding, and because there's a active mission to take the K through 12, but you have a right to a education here in Louisiana, and it's written in the Constitution. He wants to take that out of the Constitution and have the power to decide. It's all about where the money's going to go, create vouchers, so it's kind of like what's happening on the on a national level. It's the rich folks, trying to empower, or trying to give them some tax breaks, give them some a whole lot of benefits and things like that. But that's the good news, if the four amendments failed.
Okay, good, Machina, good report. Linda, you there? Linda,
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm
give
here.
us an
Yes.
update on Florida. Come on. Y'all
Well,
just won the NC2A championship. Come on, give us some good news.
okay. Well, thank you for reminding me of that, because, and I really don't have anything to report tonight.
Yes, you
I'm
do. You
because
told
I'm
me on the
listening.
phone how you were getting your
Can
podcast
you hear me
together.
now? I'm listening and I'm learning.
And yet, but you didn't know. You talked about your podcast that you was getting,
Oh,
and some other material you
of course.
sent
Yes,
me.
yes. I am still working on my podcast, and it's coming
What
along. And
is the podcast about, Linda?
of course, it's in Black Inventors, and I'm connecting that with what's going on in the business world, especially with all these tariffs and everything's going on.
And you invited a special guest, your friend,
Oh yeah,
Sharika Smith.
yes. Our sister Sharika's on. Yes.
Tell us, how'd y'all meet?
Okay, yes, and of course I want her to introduce herself first.
She
But
already
this
has.
is just to go, okay. And nothing else, in Florida, listen, I'm just enjoying this weather because it's not too hot right now. So it's giving me time to work on, of course, on my podcast
Okay, good.
and listen and learn, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay then, Brother McBride, how you doing, Ernest? You on mute? You still on mute, Ernest?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of, because I actually live in Lakewood, but
Okay, well, Lakewood.
all my time.
There's no difference between Lakewood, Long Beach.
Yeah, I know. This is like
Belmont, Seal Beach, Signal Hill. It's all Long Beach.
So and I ran into Brother Malvo, you know, because Saturday we attended the funeral services of Ahmed Safir's wife.
Yeah, I know her well.
Bernice. Well, I knew the Bernice family, you know, way back when, because they used to rent an apartment from my dad. Mm. And, you know, even before you guys, before Mohan and all of them moved back there, that's when he had a duplex back there that they tore down and built the four apartment units. And but she lived with us a long time till she met Sophia, and then they got married, you know, and then we kind of lost touch with the family. But and so I saw Mr. Malvo there, and I gave him your phone number.
Yeah, I talked to him. We had a good talk.
Good. I was just wondering if he followed up on that.
All right. Good.
Other than that, I've been kind of, I think, Dr. Minnie Douglas. You know, I don't know if you know or not, she ran the nursing program at Long Beach City College.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, they've invited me to, they've heard my podcast on this show, so she wants to invite me to Long Beach City College to do some filming, I guess, on the show. So, and I told her about the show because it's already recorded, you know, on some of the things we had to say, but we didn't really get into my dad's into that FBI stuff and all that, because that kind of hit us when I got drafted, you know, in 1961. Mm. I got drafted in the Army.
Mm.
So I go down to try to get a college scholarship, you know, to get a deferment, and they denied me the deferment, and everybody else around me was getting deferments. And then I kind of found out later, reading the FBI report and all that, where they wanted me in there so they could, because I was in electronics, so I had to have a secret clearance to do any of the work, so that way they could investigate my dad through me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another story, but mm-hmm. but anyway, so right now I'm just kind of, you know, Brother Martin, my sister Carol, she's got kind of, we have some kind of medical emergency where she kind of just passed out, and they still trying to figure out why. They run all kind of tests and no results yet, so I'm
gonna give her a call
with that. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I'm gonna give her and with her a call. And I did talk to Martin Veal. He told me about it.
Oh, okay.
Sharika, you there, Miss Mayor?
Yes, sir.
You got good news for us? Anything you've been hearing?
Kentucky's kind of underwater right now, but we are celebrating a couple of new Black-owned businesses in Lexington, so that's exciting. Black and women-owned. And yeah, I guess that's about it. I'll have something next time prepared.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead, but by way of talking about my good news and frontline things, we're gonna open it up for a response. First of all, I want to say that there's a major issue that is going around, that's going on, and we want to first of all recognize the Black women in Congress and the Black women activists as we finish Black Women's Month. In March, and with the Black woman focus, but they become the focus of the white right wing in their attack of Maxine Waters, attack on Congresswoman Crockett, political activist Stacey Abrams, and yes. They also have attacked Fannie Willis in Atlanta, and there's nobody. The Democratic Party is not standing up for them, but they're standing up for themselves. We have to commend them sisters for not backing down when they got pressure put on them, and still speaking loud, being the last of the loud. So we commend them for their activism and them standing up for the Black community and standing up for a human justice and social justice. And that's all four of them. Even the sister in Washington, D.C., the mayor, she's under attack. And you don't notice it because they just go, they say, oh, they put out various forms of media criticisms of them and trying to put pressure on them and trying to set up a situation where they can run somebody against them. And with Donald Trump, who got the 40% of the vote in various cities and things of this nature, and almost all the Republican votes in certain cities, and Elon Musk with the money to do the advertising and run the people, that's how he controls the Republican Party. But them sisters stood up to him and say, bring it on. Bring your money and bring your votes. We gonna still run for office. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing to see their activism. Did any of you notice that, that they were attacking Black women, Black women leaders? And when we was in college, the strongest leaders, as I remember, were some of the Black women that were head of the BSUs and head of the Black movement. And did any of you notice that they were subliminally, you know, attacking our Black women leadership? They used to focus on the Black man very hard. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But anyway, anybody notice it? Linda, you or Sharika, Mashinda, did you notice it?
Yes, I've noticed that also. And just to add to what you were saying, when you mentioned Black men, when Cory Booker got up there and he spoke for all those hours, the only thing that was brought to my attention today that he did not mention the Black women. Mm-hmm. And because I was listening and learning what he was saying, and I was like, wow, I'm glad somebody's standing up. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I wish he would have talked about the Black women. That would have made it more powerful.
Yeah, I'm going to go over that when we talk about his speech. Yeah. But what about anybody else have any comment on that? All right, then. The next thing is the issue of, wow, I mean, the worldwide march against Trump and the people that stood up, they told many Black people not to come because they were afraid that they would call it an insurrection and a martial law. So they didn't want to put Black, and they said they knew they wasn't going to attack white people like they would attack Black people. They felt that Black people showed up, there may be some violence and things of this nature. But anyway, we want to commend all those people that took their time to go to rallies all over the country and all over the world to criticize Trump for his behavior and suppressing and just putting those tariffs on people. And then revoking all the visas for the Sudanese people that's here, all of that stuff. And it's all about race. Taking down Harriet Tubman picture and information at the Smithsonian's and things of this nature. But one thing we learned a long time ago, you know, you can take all them symbols down of Black heroes, Frederick Douglass and, you know, and all, and Jackie Robinson and all of that. But they're still in our hearts and minds. Now, you may be erasing them out of some white people's mind, but they don't see us. Many of them don't see us anyway. But we want to commend those brothers and sisters that are fighting and bringing it to our attention what they're doing to try to rewrite history and to try to take all of our heroes and heroines out and bring back what they call their heroes and heroines of the South and of the the enslavement movement, as well as the Civil War that was about us. So we want to commend all those people standing in that. Yeah, there it is. After a backlash, National Park Service restored the Underground Railroad webpage that prominently features Harriet Tubman. Well, you know, that's good. That's good. But they took down her statues and things of that nature, and trying to rename things. So we want to commend them from the front line on that, from that standpoint. And it's very important that we play. Well, you know, I try not, you know, the news is challenging now to listen to, but, you know, you can listen to Democracy Now, as Brother Rashki Mascagni's a strong listener of that, and they really give you good information. Sometimes you have to go to the public broadcast stations to get different information, different understandings of what's going on. But we want to praise those people that are standing up and for that, and those that have put demonstrations all over the world. And we want to also talk about this immigration movement, where they're just picking up people that were tattoos, people that had visas, people that were working in their families, taking their kids and taking them and putting them in vans and then shipping them out of state. And then shipping some of them to a prison in El Salvador, which America pays for them to keep these people in. And I want to commend the people that are speaking out about it, but I want to see what y'all think about it. So how do any of you feel about this process? Because, you know, you got many African Americans, as Joe Hembrick would always say, suffering from the illusion of inclusion. When they think, when Donald Trump them say they're going to make America great, they think it includes them. But that's that illusion of inclusion. He's talking about all white men mainly, and not even the white woman. She's just a supporter of it. So that's very important. Any response to the immigration?
I'm going to say that it's sad and it's scary, but it's sad more than anything. That's why we have to all stay prayed up.
Yeah.
Because there is a God.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to remember, it's not just what they're doing, it's what we're doing, you know, and that's why we say front line, how people are fighting back and resisting these moves and speaking out against them and organizing and educating about them. And so, like you were saying, and it's a challenge for some people, because most people just want to live. They're comfortable. They just want to live, feed their children, send them to school, enjoy movies, and go to theme parks, and they just want to live. And so they don't pay attention to the history and the struggle that's going on. But we want to commend the people that's criticizing the tariffs and trying to put up some resistance to the tariff. Especially Al Green, not the singer, who spoke out in the congressional hall, and they had to put him out, and they tried to censor him. And he was just recently at a rally that drew thousands, and he's speaking out. He's not being intimidated, and that's very important. He also told Trump, well, bring it on, bring on, bring on your movement. I'll stand up to you. And he's on the cane, and he's a role model to emulate. So it's a very strong, I don't know if any of y'all, everybody talking about other speeches, but that was a profound thing that he did, because the Supreme Court justice, who's the head justice now, he's the one that called Obama a liar from the floor, right, and they didn't put him out, you
not
know.
At all.
And so, and he spoke out.
Professor Rob, I agree with you, but what I was trying to say is faith without works is dead. That's so I agree. 1,000% with you.
Oh yeah, you got to work. You got to work. I mean, that's why you got legs, brain, and arms. You got to put the work in. You can't just fall on your knees and think things are gonna happen. You got to pray for the strength to get you up to do something. So we deeply appreciate that. But anybody have any response to the immigration movement and taking people? See, what's so called? He's enacting a 1700 law that says he can send anybody out the country who's an enemy to the United States or they're at conflict with. So if he can say he's at conflict with black people, he can start picking them up like he's doing the Latino. we have a tendency to think he's just going to put Latinos out the country, but he's putting Haitians, Belize, Black people that's here, that got visas and things of this nature. And then activists, and trying to suppress the activists. But we'll get into that in a minute. But any response to the immigration movement and things that we just talked about? All right.
He's a nationalist. He's a nationalist, and he's doing
his daddy
white supremacist, and it's all about the white folk here. And he's doing what he feels his people. He's doing his people's bidding.
Well, they're supporting him.
They're supporting it. I mean, even though it's hurting them, because the biggest recipient of the DEI that's supposed to be the great equalizer in the private industry are white women.
Yeah,
and many of them are fronts for the white businessmen, and that's a common thing in the construction industry here in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, they say it starts with the white women, then the Asians, then the gays, and then the Latinos, and then Black people. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to DEI,
we inspire these laws, but we are always the last to benefit from them.
So it's important. It's important that we continue the struggle.
There's another sister called Crockett, Professor Ra. There's a sister named Crockett. There's a congressperson out of Texas. You got to check her out. She be letting them have it.
That I just said about her. You know, they're after her. They're after her. They want her to apologize. Maxine Waters said, if you're going to send anybody home, send your wife people back home. How'd they get in the country? And, you know, so they demanded her to apologize for her saying, send your wife back, because she's an immigrant.
the sisters are really doing it. And even, you know, like the brown girls, they call them this woman out of New York, this is a congressman. And then you got one here to lead here out of Michigan. And then there's another sister. I think she might be out of Minnesota, but she's an Ethiopian. That are giving it to them, and they not putting a cut on it. And a lot of the men are taking this money from the Jewish lobbying group, and it's gagging them. And they're all got their hands out and refuse to take a stand about anything that the Zionist nation now is doing. And the Black women are covering all grounds. Mm-hmm. And they just won't shut up.
And see, this sister that's out of, what's that? When Michael Brown was killed, and they had the big demonstrations and rebellion. Anyway, she
St.
was.
Louis.
No, it wasn't St. Louis. It was it had come to me, but she was the congresswoman for a little while. Her last name started with a B, and they ran somebody against her, and she's out of office. And then the brother out of New York who spoke out, they ran somebody against him, another Black person, and he's out. Well, they didn't start, they're both on their own podcast. And the names will come to me in a minute, but that's strong.
You're not talking about Nina.
No. This is out of
Ohio.
You talking about Nina Turner?
No, What's the sister what's that city that it started with an L? With Michael Brown them, and they had the big rebellion. You remember Michael Brown said hands up, and they shot him. Anyway, it'll come to me. I'm sorry, I didn't write it down. But they got their own podcast. They just the thing is, a lot of people think Black people are not doing anything. It's very important that we look at that. Second, we have to encourage each other to have more love, respect for each other. It's very important See, male-female relationships is the key. If the men and the women ain't getting along, and that means a transformation of both from the standpoint of principles and values and ethics towards each other, you know, and not letting these rap records define the black woman or give you an image of black women, or not letting the gangster rap give you an image of black men, that you know, and then at the same time, not glorifying those records, turning those that popularize those concepts into heroes and heroines in the white movement. They choose our leaders, give them big advertising contracts, and then our kids want to be like them. If they can do what they did and get prominence and recognition, then let me do what they're doing. You know, I remember they had Snoop Dogg on top of VIP Records in Long Beach when he came out with his record. And everything you tell your sons not to be, he was doing, the Crip Walk and Gang of Terror. And he was, they make him a multimillionaire, billionaire. You understand? That's them choosing and making our entertainment, giving them Academy Awards for calling our women itches and H's and things of that nature, and calling our men ends and things of this nature, and talking about shooting and killing. And that's why Kwamenon, when he comes on, he talk about that good times. And they had a big demonstration out here in L.A., very successful at the Lakers game against Seth Curry, who was a basketball player for San Francisco Warriors. Great shooter, good person, but he put up the money and got his name as a producer of this animated Good Times. Sitcom, and got the baby selling crack and carrying a gun in the diaper, and little girls having minstrels, and I mean it's just terrible, but we got Kwamenon. Them, they demonstrated in New York, Madison Garden, wherever the Warriors play, they demonstrate. So, you know, people say people ain't doing nothing. They're not getting the news, but they are struggling. And we're not doing it for news. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And so that's part of the movement right there. Triple, I don't know, you know, next flick. And the NBA and Steph Curry. Okay, so those are major issues.
Professor Rott, you were talking about Ferguson.
Ferguson, you that's know, right.
Yeah, that's in St. Louis County. And you were talking about, you're referring probably to Corey Bush that lost.
Corey Bush, that's right.
Okay.
Corey Bush and the other brother out of New York, Malcolm, or Al, something like that, Alvin. They got their own podcast. So it's been, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see our people working and organizing. And they just had a commemoration of the sacrifice of Dr. Martin Luther King, the SCLC, a beautiful thing, with local ministers and organizers in Los Angeles. That was a good turnout and a good presentation of recognizing the sacrifice of Martin Luther King Jr., dedicating his life and knowing that he probably was going to be facing murder. That's what they did, assassinate. But what he did was sacrifice, you understand? And so we have to mention what they did, but we also have to recognize him for his sacrifice from that standpoint. Yes.
We have Brother Hood here this evening.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Hood, how you doing? You're on mute.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. It's good, right. to hear you.
Hey, good. You too, Professor Rob.
Yeah.
Man, I got some information. I want to do an update tonight. I got something
well, go
that
ahead.
Really hit me tonight.
Go ahead, then we give you special privilege. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so let me get it ready. So I was just doing some reading, and I was scrolling, man, and I wanted to share this and just kind of bring it to the panel. And so basically in a few months, I guess recent months, there's a legislation that was passed in Illinois. It's called the Homeschool Act, HB 2827. So it's kind of ignited like a debate over homeschooling regulations and parental rights. And so it's a bill that basically is introducing requirements for homeschooling for the family. So there's three things: mandatory registration, parents need to submit an annual homeschool declaration form to the school district, educational oversight, authorities could request proof of educational materials and student work if something arises about the inadequacy of instruction. And the third one is parental qualifications. Basically, the bill stipulates that homeschooling parents possess at least a high school diploma or an equivalent. And so this bill, the sponsors of it, Terry Costa Howard, argues that basically these measures are essential for homeschool children to receive a proper education and are safeguarded. You know what I mean? And so this perspective is kind of, it's an investigation basically revealing that Illinois is lacking regulations, making it challenging to monitor, you know, homeschooling environment. So basically this bill is basically stepping in the parental space and forcing you, if you don't homeschool, you know, they can do something. It's a broad national conversation about, you know, between educational standards and respecting parent autonomy when they're trying to choose a, you know, education for their own kid. Homeschooling is growing in popularity, and a lot of discussions are emerging about, you know, various states about how you can do it with your child, because school is the way it is. A lot of homeschooling going on. So this is the first bill I'm looking at from Illinois that basically steps in that space between your parental right just to homeschool your kid. And so I thought it was an interesting topic, and I wanted to bring that to the floor.
Yeah, well, when they got rid of the Department of Education, that sets the basis for them to even pay certain families for doing homeschool if the state chooses to do that. They say turn the education back over to the states. It was the states that was practicing the laws that said it was illegal to teach us and to educate us. Those were state rights. And so what they're talking about now is breaking up the Department of Education, letting states make the decision on how education will function in their communities and in their cities. And that means that more charter schools, and that even church schools can get money. And, you know, most people don't know it's about close to 7,500 upper division schools, education schools in this country, 7,500. And they most of them in rural white areas. You understand? People, you know, you have to get out and travel this and see. And that's what Sharika was saying about Illinois, I mean about Kentucky. This is a bunch of farmland, bunch of things of this nature. So people, you'd be surprised how people live. And same thing up in Palos Verdes and in certain parts of Pasadena, Altadena, where people thought they were escaping from the black communities and things of this nature. And see, what happens is, you know, this country forget that there's three elements of abuse. We suffer from racism, but now all people are suffering from vulgar capitalism. And that's why you see billionaires running the country now, and they're firing white people. You know what I'm saying? So they can get tax breaks and get other investments, use the money for other things to develop, or even to take over places like Greenland, take over the Panama Canal, take over various countries. And they already got a plan. If you heard Not in Begin and Trump discussion, which I hate. It's hard for me to listen, but they said something, and not one reporter asked this question. They said, "We got other countries that are willing to take that Israel is setting up a permanent occupation in Gaza, and that we got other countries where Palestinians can go and live." And live peacefully and live better than what they're living now. And no one asked them, are you talking about ethnic or racial removal and taking Gaza? Remember, Trump said he wanted Gaza to turn it into a resort. So now all he has to do is say Israel got it, and they're giving them the bombs and giving them the material, and then he can get a piece of that rock. You understand? Because who going to go in there and do it? White investors, white billionaires building hotels on the resort and all that type of stuff. So you got to pay. I mean, you don't have to. You don't give a damn. That's on you. But if you're concerned about your people, concerned about our state of where we are as African people, you pay more close attention. And that's even what Brother Hood was talking about. It seemed like it's, well, okay, they don't just do those political things with the schools and home schools and things of this nature, and it slipped by people because, you know, sometimes we get comfortable in our oppression, and all we want is just a relief. Let me watch some cartoons. Let me go to Magic Mountain, even though ain't no mountain magic. Let me go to Disneyland, even though you'll be dizzy by the time you leave. When they took all your money for parking down there, and so it's a struggle, constantly.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
You need to pay attention because while you're thinking that they don't mean you, they talking about you. You're thinking that you're escaping and because they ain't gonna bother you, but like they putting the Latinos out, then after they do that, who are they gonna come after? Black activists. You know what I'm saying? If you criticize America or Israel, could you imagine them passing at the University of Columbia, agreeing to pass rules that if you criticize Israel, you can be kicked out of school?
Yes.
They got laws like that in other European countries.
They taking their visas.
Yeah.
What's happening now? It's happening now. It's kind of been happening in this country. Yeah. That's nothing newer, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's new here. I mean, it's new in Columbia at a university. I mean, you got countries that were doing it, but universities out in America, one of the prestigious universities, and they doing it at UCLA. You know, and all they told the UCLA and certain schools, you would not get federal support unless you come up with harsher rules. A harsher punishment for those that participated in past demonstration and any demonstration criticizing Israel for what they're doing in Gaza, which is the slaughter of kids, babies, workers, humanitarian workers, and people.
The press, no free press.
No, and nobody's no white people are criticizing. There are many other people that's criticizing. So we have to we educate people. They don't want to get involved, and I can understand that. But that don't mean that those of us that want to get involved shouldn't get involved because everybody's not involved. You understand? As far as educating and teaching, the primary education institution is your home. And
what do you think about
know
that,
how to
Rob?
Teach your kids about how to go to school to get the best out of school rather than the school changing you and indoctrinating you, because that's what they set up some schools to do, to acculturate. To acculturate is to absorb you into their culture and you abandon your own. You know, it's called cultural age, acculturation immune deficiency syndrome. If you don't know who you are, some other people will define you and define your purpose and your direction in life. But when you know who you are and where you are and your parents teach you which way to go, or your or whoever's ahead of the household, because of the breakup of the family and things of this nature. So we have to go back to basics, and the basic is male-female relationship, that fathers and mothers on the same accord, the highest respect, treating each other like gods and goddesses. No violence, no cussing, no drugs, no drinking. We're on a mission to be an example and a role model for our children and for our future as a people. Any response?
That's a great thing. How you do it with the youth when they only respect the bag?
When they only respect the what?
They only respect the bag. How do you break that? It's like a generation gap with this social media.
Talking about money. And
yeah, it's a respect thing, but it also is deep. And so, but it's definitely a deep thing. But I was basically calling about the news update, like taking your parental rights. That's basically how aggressive it is with Illinois. That's part of what I was talking about. Basically, if you ain't have a high school diploma, you can't even homeschool your kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. Many of our great grandparents didn't get past fifth and sixth grade. They was out in the field, but they had common sense. Even the brothers and sisters enslaved, if you can't read a book, you can read life and read nature. If a roach and a dog run free, what are you doing in chains? You understand? And a horse run free, and you see other things running free, what are you doing in chains? You don't see them doing other people enslaved. You the only ones enslaved. You know, you're not reading nature then. You're not reading life. And that's very important. So my point is that even though you may not have a college education, you do have common sense. Now, I'm not saying to teach you that math and computer and technology and foreign languages, no. But to teaching you to think, that's what Malcolm said. One of the most important things we can learn is how to think and think for
critical
ourselves.
Think.
Yeah, yes. think that's for right. ourselves.
No doubt.
And see life the way we see it, not the way they define it to us. And we do have parents that's doing that. You know, many of our parents didn't get a college education, but we went on and got it. You understand? Amen. Many of us are first generation, and not too long ago. We fought for every inch of freedom and liberation we got. Some use it to help others, like Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman led them out of freedom, out of the chains into up north to for freedom. But at the same time, she also, there's other type of freedoms you could teach people. Freedom to think, freedom to understand where they are and who they are. But many of our kids get lost, like you said, in capitalism, because you see LeBron James sitting up there with, you know, $10,000 worth of chains on his neck, and other ball players with gold earrings in their ear, and things of this nature, driving Rolls Royces. And one basketball player had 20 cars, and you understand? I mean, so they get that from them. Rappers coming around there with big gold medallions and things of this nature. Yeah, they're gonna think like that. But let me give an example. We were taught by our parents the evilness of cussing. At one time we couldn't cuss in front of our kids.
You couldn't
even swear. You couldn't even call nobody a lie. You understand? Those were fighting words. You understand? You had the respect. You were taught that when grown folks talking, get out. You couldn't even be in the same room. You understand? Because you're kids, and you know, and these are people that didn't have no degree, but they knew how to educate their children how to be ethical. The church played a major role in it, in some of these roles, and taught us things, and then other secret societies, masonry. And things of this nature, and that's what they mean by the have you drank from the seven seas, and Have you crossed the burning sand? And have you seen the North Star? You understand? Well, they got women groups. Yeah.
I just want to say a few things about what Brother Hood was talking about when he talking about, and it's on the lines of what you just said. It's the challenge right now is, Brother Hood was saying, what do you do about it when the focus is on the bag, meaning money? So if you have a focus on money, then life is devalued. You just said about four or five things that was very important. You talked about parenting and about using profanity. It comes down to a point of what's really important, what's not. Now there's the money system that we live under, we know is corrupt. And we know that we need money to maintain our living situations. But the challenge is, how do you differentiate between the money chasing it and wanting it and getting as much as you can get it, and then having values, core values in life that's going to keep you from doing things that doesn't make any sense? You know, people do anything for money, and that makes it money a more valuable thing than human life. And this is the challenge that we have to grapple with and try to convey to people that it's a necessity, but it's not nothing to chase. It's nothing to aspire to get the most that you can get, and to the point where human core values is not recognized. So we that's the challenge we have, I think, as people in general, is to rearrange our value system. And money, definitely, they said money is the root to all evil. It's definitely in that light. You know, people are chasing it to the point where other things don't matter.
Yeah, but
go ahead, Ron. I just wanted
let me say it.
Yeah.
I'm for people getting money. I'm just not for what they're spending it on and what they're doing with it. If they're doing with it to buy guns and steal from other people, that's wrong. If they're doing it to buy dope, that's wrong. If they're doing it to do something to help the people and help themselves and invest in properties and make more money to help their families and help other human beings, that's good. You know, money is a tool and a weapon at the same time. But
what
Hood is talking about, these people are glorifying money not for the purposes of bettering themselves. The money betters them. That's why they flash it. That's why they wear the gold chains. That's why they go out and get a car, a car that they can't really afford, but they get it. And, you know, they're following our entertainers and our athletes who are entertainers and who are making $500 and $600 million and things of this nature, over 5-year contracts and 10-year contracts. So yeah, they're gonna get caught up in that if you don't teach them what's really going on at the home. See, once that kid comes out of that house, he's supposed to not come back strange. You understand? He ain't supposed, like I say, you may be in the world, but don't be of the world. That's very important for young people. But if you just let them go out there without any instruction, and what they're going to see, you know, like, ain't nothing wrong with taking your kids for a ride. I take my kids for a ride every my grandkids now, my kids. I show them the best of living, and I show them the worst of living. You understand? I say, now look at these homeless people down on Wall Street, living in tents and things of this nature. You got a house? Appreciate what you got. Keep it clean. Keep it this. Keep it that. Give them effort. Then I said, you know, ain't nothing wrong with you getting you a nice home. You understand? Let me show you over here in Beverly Hills and Windsor Hills and Baldwin Hills, where they got these beautiful homes. I said, ain't nothing wrong with you getting that. You understand? I always want you to want for the best, but don't let that make you think you better than anyone, or that you are a king or a queen, and because you living in a nice home. You understand? It's a thing. It's a thing. Appreciate, share it. You know, what I want you to do, Rasha Key, is play Dr. Weatherford Ghost, who's going to be our guest next week. Play that, and then I'm gonna close out. Go ahead. I don't know if y'all saw this. It was on ABC News, one of the news stations.
I saw that.
Couldn't hit the button. Share the sound. Let me share the sound.
Money is just a tool.
Obsessed with this black owned farm in Southern California, and you will be too. I drove an hour north of LA to Bloom Ranch in Acton, an organic produce farm owned by the Relaford family. They host produce picking adventures and seasonal festivals, and their Bloomsgiving festival was too cute. I learned how to make pear cider. Spoiler alert, it's delicious. We got to paint freshly harvested pumpkins, but the best part was the private tour to the marigold fields. It was so peaceful, the view was gorgeous, and I got to pick a fresh bouquet of flowers to take home. Their shop is full of fruits, veggies, and artisanal treats, and they even have a grocery subscription to bring healthy eating to the black community. They're open every Thursday through Sunday. It's the perfect day trip for families, friends, and special dates. Need I say more? Follow Black Events LA for the best of Black LA, and as always, have fun, stay black. I'm obsessed with this black.
And let me say this. This brother got money. He didn't go out and buy a bunch of junk. He went and bought land and started a farm. And I mean, he's not only that, he's a doctor of podiatry, where he saved people's feet from that were infected, that other doctors said they was gonna have to amputate. And these were some movie stars and things of this nature that he did. I met him, and we're very familiar with each other, and he's gonna be on our show next Tuesday, and he's gonna talk about that. He got a brewery also, where he got grapes and things of this nature. But he didn't go out and spend his money on getting a big building to rent it and doing this. He went and said, hey, look, I'm going to be, that's a revolutionary. Remember what Malcolm said? We are a key people in a key place because we can have the first revolution that was bloodless. Nobody have to shed no blood, just a different way of thinking and looking at the world. Here's a brother got some money. He went and bought 200 some acres and turned it into farmland and growing food. And you know, he said, we ain't worried about the tariffs. We growing our own. You understand? And he sells it. People come from miles around to go up to his farm to get his vegetables, because they're organic, they're healthy, and they have a good time, as the lady said. And that's a new way of thinking, because most people with money want to make more money. You understand?
And, wait a minute, Professor Ryan. What about the shrine? The shrine of the Black Madonna that bought all that property down in Alabama. The farms and the cows and the things that are going on with them trying to feed. But this is the deal. Is he going to be able to do that seamlessly, or are they coming for him too? Because every time something like this happens, and it has happened in our history, where we try to do for self, here them folks come.
Yeah, but you can't be afraid of that. The point is, when they come, are you ready to welcome them? The Deacons of Defense, they came up there in Alabama and Louisiana to hang people, and they met the Deacons of Defense. They had guns also, and they had to leave that running. My point is that, yeah, he thinks about that, but that's not stopping him from moving forward. Martin Luther King knew that they was going to kill him, but that didn't stop him. The point is, it may stimulate others to do the same thing. The more stronger we are as a people, we provide protection for our people. I taught at Long Beach State for 34 years. It was not because they wanted me to be there, but the students kept me there. They were my protection apparatus. By having strong relationships with the students, they knew that there would be problems if they moved on me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and my point is that's the same thing with this brother. The more people support his business, the more people, right? You'd be surprised that they don't want no trouble. They don't want no trouble from the inside. Like you said, like some people said, they're already burning up Teslas. They're already, it's just a matter of time before they start burning up golf courses. You understand? I mean, it's a different struggle out there. But yeah, you're right. There's a danger of them doing that, but there's danger of black, of men, the Latinos, they did nothing and they're kicking them out the country. Yeah. Even the wrong person. So it's not about it. Are you doing something or not? Don't do nothing because you're afraid they're going to come after you. They're already coming after you. You know? So you got to keep on pushing. You know, that's what Curtis Mayfield, that's what me and Roger T was talking about. You got to keep on pushing. You can't stop now. Some way, somehow. Move up a little higher. You understand? That's the way we got to go. You understand? Ain't no stopping us now. We on the move. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and so it's a beautiful thing. Go ahead, Roger T. What's on tomorrow? But Russell will be here next Tuesday talking about his ranch, talking about all the things that he do. You understand? All right. That's locked in. Mm-hmm. And again, Brotherhood, what you do is revolutionary. This brother's a master of the computer, all aspects of it, from coding to everything. And he's teaching it at a middle school to black people and Latino. But at the same time, he's a master.
I appreciate you, brother, Professor Ra. I'm also doing some work for LACTD Foundation. I'm teaching college students at their program.
Keep up the good work. See, what you got in your head is worth more than money, man. It's more than money because you're helping other people get their money, get their lives together. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Rasha Key.
All right. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Let me share the screen. We got a couple of things going on. So tomorrow we have the Shield of Valor coming back on, and they are a security company, and we have the main guest is Bess Gamble Williams. She's one of the members of the Shield of Valor. They've been on before, so she's on tomorrow. If you're interested in coming, you go to the website on the homepage. It says Join Zoom here. Here it is right here, April 9th, 6 p.m. Then also, let me share this. We've started a new podcast series. And I'm going to show you the flyer. It's Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. So we're going to do that on Thursday of this week. Let me share the screen so you can see the flyer. And it's also on the website. I'll show that also where you can come on. So here we go, Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. And back in 1983, we actually have, yeah, here it is. There was a Roots Reggae concert at Long Beach State. And this is 1983. And I mean, reggae evolved in the mid 70s. So this was a real historical type reggae event out here in Southern California. So we have Jin J. Dennis, Mashariki Ramey, Ayanna Barrett, Danny Barrett, and Lester Farai Simbarashe. And these are all either former BSU members at Long Beach State, and Danny Barrett was also organizer, and his wife, Anna Barrett. And then Lester Farai actually played at the concert, and he's still performing this day. And that was 3 years ago, 42 years ago? It was a long time ago, because I was a senior in high school. and I didn't attend, but I know it was an excellent event. So they're going to talk about that event. And if you want to come, it's on the flyer, but I don't know how you would have access to the flyer. But you could also just go to the homepage of the website. Let me share that again. And here it is. The flyer is on there. And just like you join the other shows, you just go right underneath where it says join Zoom here, and you can be right there. So that should be very interesting. That's what we have going on the next couple of days. Okay, Professor Ron.
All right. As I said, we got Brother Dr. Rutherford that will be on talking about his farm. Everybody, because to motivate people to convert their lands into growing food, we used to gather food when he was in the South. I mean, we had smokehouses. People had, they took their animals, they skinned them, put them in the smokehouse. They didn't go to no stores. Stores were too far. You understand? When they got ready to eat dinner, they went out in the backyard and either killed the chicken or skinned the pig or went to the smokehouse. And they had wood ovens. They didn't even have gas. They
put to chopped get wood.
I got my butt whipped for chopping, just throwing the wood in the shed out. And they came out and said, no, you got to stack it a certain way. You understand? I didn't know. I'm straight out of Compton, Watson. You understand? I don't know nothing about that. And, you know? And man, my grandmama, I thought she was going to never stop beating my butt. That's why I ain't been back. I haven't been back to Louisiana since. You understand? And I'm just telling you, man. I mean, they used to catch the pig and put a ring in his nose to stop him from rooting. I didn't know why he was putting a ring in his nose. They want us to try to catch a pig. You know, that pig was out running all up under the houses because all the houses are on bricks. State, man, it was just crazy, man. But they loved the way they lived because they were independent. And then they were black communities and they weren't bothering nobody. And the only thing white was the Nab Jones, as they used to call him, or Cracker, driving up and down the street, giving them tickets and harassing them and things of this nature. You understand?
Professor, that's a good thing about Detroit, I have to say. That's one of the good things about Detroit, too, I should have brought up, is that we are reclaiming that, too. We are in the dirt. We back in the dirt. That's right.
Good.
Yes, we growing our food.
All right. All right, Brotherhood, we got to get you back on and talk about your technology again. All right.
Oh, I'm cooking something up for y'all, man. Definitely. It's just been really busy, but I definitely got something cooking up. And I just want to, you know, salute everybody on the panel. I seen Mr. McBride. I missed the show last time. I had a chance to do something at his school. And I didn't even know that there was a brother, man, that it was named after. You know, so when I saw the story, I didn't get a chance to get on. But I just want to salute you, man, and appreciate everything. And you know, I'm definitely got some I'm cooking up. So
all right,
I just appreciate
it. Help us learn some more about how to get our stuff on Facebook and Instagram, them video shorters, you know, and get the word out what we're doing on this show too.
Well, we need help. Well, I ain't gonna say we desire help. I ain't gonna say we need. And I'm just
extending. You got my number, man.
Well, no. Brotherhood, you do what you do. I'm putting that out there to people who may want to help that's technologically inclined, because I don't have enough time to man Facebook, you know, Instagram and all that. I don't have time to man that.
That's why we want to learn. Somebody can upload it, but when you're not there, and I can learn to do it. We all can.
I might know a couple of youngsters, man. I might have to turn you on too. I think they go to Compton High, man. Young kids, man.
Well, we definitely could use somebody to do that.
And I know a couple.
Be able to man that part of the technology, because I'm extended. So
okay,
it's good though. It's a good thing. But each one teach one in Conscious Corner. We gonna
all right. See y'all next week, brother.
All right. Yeah.